Let's go ahead and open up to Mark chapter 11. We're going to start in verse 12, and as you guys are turning there, let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for who you are. We thank you for your word. We thank you that we can gather freely here, Lord, at this current time in the United States, Lord, to talk about you and to share what you have to say this morning, Lord. So I pray that that would be the case, that these would not be my words, Lord, but your words. So, Lord, we thank you for all that are here. I pray for those that are making their way here or for those that weren't able to make it this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would just bless them, Lord. Be with them. So, Lord, we give you this morning. We give you this time. We ask this in Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said amen. Amen. Okay, so if you guys were here on Wednesday, we went through the first portion of Mark chapter 11, and it talks about Jesus' triumphal entry. And what we did is we kind of tied that in to say, Jesus had this triumphal entry, right? And now we have the beginning of 2017. And so can we. We can have that triumphal entry because of what Jesus did for us, because he came here on earth, right? Because he came here on earth, lived a sinless life, died on the cross, and rose again, conquered death. We have victory in Christ. And I think that we don't really prepare ourselves enough in 2017 in our Christian walks. And I can say that for myself and talking to a lot of people in the church here, at work, and also, of course, with the youth. There's really not a plan. We will have a plan for work. We'll have a plan for all these things. But then we don't have a plan for our Christian walk. Like, Lord, what do you want me to do? Like, I want to know exactly what to do. And there's some things I know, Lord, that you're not going to make it clear. And things you're going to ask me to do that may seem weird or may seem like, are you sure you want me to do that? And then we do it. We're obedient in it. And then the Lord blesses it. But I think it's important to have a plan. So that's what we're talking about. We talked about how Jesus, he asked two disciples. And you say, Lord wants our help? Yeah, does he need our help? Does he truly need, like, I need you to do something? I think he wants us to be involved. He wants us to have a walk to where we can include him in everything. And sometimes he allows things to happen so that we're, in a sense, kind of forced as believers to lean on him. So some of you guys know we had a pipe burst at our house, and I kind of poked fun a little bit. I said our kitchen and our living room just got baptized, guys. Okay, it was like, I mean, it is bizarre to where, like, you want them to, you know, the company comes out and you want them to make sure there's no moisture in there. But it's really bizarre when, like, you see them just ripping up your wood flooring, you know, just, you know. And it was funny because they started ripping it out and we're moving the couches, and the kids were helping. And I said, and I go, you guys don't scratch. It's like, really? And then the other guy's kind of chuckling because he's like, rip, you know? And I'm telling the kids, don't scratch the floor. Because we didn't let them just slide, you know, the furniture around. But anyways, the Lord allows this to happen. And I'll tell you this. I'll make it brief. Say, I'm here, men's breakfast. I'm talking to one of the guys. And my phone rings. And it's Sarah. But I was, you know, we were talking. And then phone rings, it's Ariana, and then phone rings right again, it's Sarah. Okay, something's up. Because normally she'll just text me or something, and I look at it, and I pick it up, and I hear on the other end going, please, Bubble, pick up, please, pick up. And I instantly, like, think, something happened to the little kids. This is the first thing that comes up. Something happened to the little kids that's very, very bad, or Sarah just found Vicky dead. I'm just saying, my mother-in-law. Those are just the first three things that came to my mind. And then when she said, the house is flooding, there's water everywhere. There was actually like a sign, like a relief, you know? Because the perspective is, okay, you know what? That stuff, we can replace that stuff. And I was just like, I'm so glad, like, you know, nobody's hurt, you know. So, but I show up. I rip out of here. I even forgot my backpack. Paul grabs my backpack for me. And we're like running out, right? I get to the car and I got home fast. Okay. I forgive me, Lord. I was breaking many laws. Okay. I was just, I'm thinking it's, and I'm driving Vicky's car, my mother-in-law's car. So I'm thinking, something's going to happen. I'm going to spin out. I'm like, Vicky, I hope you enjoyed this car, you know? So I get to the house and I'm telling Sarah, I call the 911. I said, this is the deal. I need the fire department, whoever, I don't know. National Guard, somebody needs to turn off my water so I show up and we're trying to turn it off at the street, but you need like a special tool or something. And if you know me, I'm not handy guy, you know, not at all. Sarah's got this little screwdriver out there, you know, I'm thinking, what am I gonna do this? So I go in the house and I'm thinking, okay, what am I gonna see? As I'm walking in, I hear it. It sounds like raging waters. It sounds like a fire hydrant. So I look, and across the kitchen is this jet stream. So they finally turn it off, right? And I'm thinking, and there's buckets everywhere. The kids did a great job. You know, Sarah kind of panicked. And Elijah, praise the Lord for Elijah, because Elijah had I love this kid. He goes and he realizes, he sees what's going on. He runs upstairs. He's emptying out his toy bins with the plastic and he runs. He's like this, you know. I'm thinking, you know, I got to turn off the power. And come to find out that the kids are like underneath the sockets of like the vents and the can lights, and they're like showers, you know, because the water's just pouring out. And they're underneath it. I'm thinking they're going to die, you know, they're going to electrocute or something. So we turn off the power, everything's off. And then I instantly started like my flesh started coming up, you know. So, and then I hear, you know, just go get that. You're not going fast enough, you know, kind of thing. And we're kind of getting at each other. And there's a point to all this, okay? So then I said, you guys, let's stop. We need to pray. And it wasn't like prayer. Sometimes you got to pray because you got to give it to the Lord first. You got to give it to the Lord. And even amongst the whole chaos, I mean, there are towels. I laugh at it now because it's just, I never experienced anything like that at all, you know. And everybody's outside, and it's freezing outside, you know. The little kids are like in jammies and just a coat, you know. So I said, let's pray. So we prayed, and it was fine. It was fine. We're going to work through it, you know. And that's why I poked fun on Instagram and said, you know, about, you know, our living room and our kitchen got baptized, because what can you do? Really, what can you do? You can't do anything. And this is the thing. This is where the body of Christ just comes into unity. Because we are blessed by many of you guys. I know that when you guys got that prayer request, that you were praying. Praise the Lord for that. If you weren't, repent. No, I'm just kidding. So you guys were praying. People were texting, what can we bring you? What can we do? And people brought us food. And you know, we're blessed by having, you know, friends and family that are literally down the street, you know, to take care of our dog that we have now. The dog was just like, this, I should have stayed at the pound, you know. This is like crazy, you know. So, long intro, but I want to make sure you guys understand this. Did we have a plan for this? You know what's sad? We don't even think about it. This just came to mind. I don't even have a plan what to do if we had a fire in our house. Maybe you do. Maybe you're here going, oh, you have five children and you don't? Well, let me hear your plan, you know? It's like, you know, I don't even have, like, where, okay, I know, get out of the house. But we need to tell our kids, okay, where do we go? There needs to be a plan that you have, because you don't know what can happen. And sometimes you don't have a plan, and you and like we did there, we kind of were winging it. But that doesn't mean we exclude the Lord in it. Bring the Lord in it. So going back here, painting the picture of history here, the scripture tells us in verses 9 and 10 in Mark 11 that the people were crying out. So here we have Jesus. He sends, he asks for help, right? He says, go and get these, go and get the donkey. Two disciples, he sends them out. If anybody says, hey, what are you doing? Just tell them the Lord is in need of it and the Lord will return it. So I bet you these guys, like we talked about, they went. They're probably like, I hope nobody sees me. Somebody does see them. They just said what the Lord, they were, you know, didn't make really much sense what the Lord was asking them to do, right? Okay, well, why? It's like, sometimes our kids will ask them for something and they're like, well, why don't you just get it? It's like, you need to be quick to obey. So they were quick to obey. They go, they say that. The guy was like, sure, go ahead, take it. He takes it. He rides in on a donkey, right? And we were talking about how the Roman generals would come in after being in victory. They would come in on a stallion and they would have this triumphal entry. So here we are, you know, Passover's happening. There's a ton of people there in Jerusalem. So they have a bunch of extra Roman guards. So they're probably laughing at Jesus coming in on a donkey. Like, what is he doing? This is ridiculous. With his entourage coming, right? Which is just his disciples. There was confidence that the Lord had. See, sometimes we lack confidence, and sometimes we have confidence, but we have confidence in ourselves rather than confidence in the Lord. Be careful. Be very, very careful with that. So Jesus goes in, and then they're laying down branches. They're saying, Hosanna, save now, right? Hosanna in the highest, verses 9 and 10. But later we know that the very same people that said this are the same people that will later cry out, crucify him. So now we're going to be reading about Jesus cursing the fig tree because there was no fruit. We'll also read what Jesus did in the temple, and then ultimately what ends up happening to the fig tree. So fig trees are mentioned throughout Scripture. The very first mention is in Genesis, right? What happened when they realized they took the fruit? What did they do? What did they use to cover themselves? Okay, so by default, we know that there must have been a fig tree, right? Right? Right?
Yes.
Okay. So if you know something about a fig tree, raise your hand if you have seen a fig tree and touched an actual fig leaf. Anybody here? Okay. Who can say that is it nice and smooth and soft? Not at all. Okay. So, man, that's a whole other topic there. But my thing is, they used a fig tree. Obviously, there were a ton of trees that they could have, right? It was a garden. They could have used something else. Interesting that they use a fig tree. But fig trees are mentioned from Genesis all the way to Revelation, and in many cases, to symbolize the nation of Israel. So here we go, verses 12 through 14. So now the next day, when they had come out from Bethany, he, speaking of Jesus, was hungry. Okay, keep that in mind. He was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, "Let no one eat fruit from you ever again." And his disciples heard it. Now, here we have we're going to read later that the fig tree withered. And it withered from the roots up. Okay, keep that in mind. So here we have the only destructive miracle Jesus had done, because later we'll read that obviously it dried up. So some would argue, no, what about when he casted the legion of demons out to the swine and then they drowned? That was pretty destructive. But Jesus casted out the legion to the swine, it was the demons who decided to take the swine in there. Jesus didn't tell them to go in there. So here we have the only time where there was a miracle that Jesus did, and the outcome was not so great. Not because there was a lesson. Keep this in mind. Because there was a lesson. See, there was a... I was reading a few things about this, and there are some people, there are some Christians that are like really big time environmentalists, okay? And they were saying that, I just don't know how to deal with this verse. Like there was a tree and he did, why did he have to do that? I don't know, maybe when I go to heaven, I'm going to ask Jesus, why did he destroy this tree? I'm thinking, what? Do you know, it was funny, I saw this picture of these big, huge logs that were on the back of this, you know, trailer. Just, they're huge. And somebody had spray painted, "Don't worry, I hugged it before I cut it." You know, that was pretty cool, you know. But do you know right now in Alaska, the EPA is trying to fine residents in Alaska for burning wood in Alaska because they're saying that it's harmful for the environment. Okay, this is how people keep warm. This is how sometimes we keep warm also. Look into this. This is very, very, you know, they want to find them. And I'm thinking, okay, is it money? I'm sure it's both to get money. And it's also like, really, since the beginning of time, we have been burning wood to stay warm. Now it's an issue. Like, very, very ridiculous here. But can the Lord do something to inanimate object, to whatever, for his children, to get a point across for his children? Absolutely. As a matter of fact, if God wants to do something to his own children to benefit other children, does he have the right to do that? Yes. He's the creator of all. Who are we to say what God can do and what God can't do? So here, it says the next day. The next day. So what had happened prior to that? It was Palm Sunday, right? So now we have Monday. And then it wasn't like Jesus was just like we are on Mondays, you know? He wasn't grumpy and saying, "Oh, I want some," you know. Have you ever went to your fridge or you're like thinking, "Oh, I remember having this." And then you go in there, especially on a Monday morning, and you realize somebody has eaten it or it's gone. There's something, and it's just Mondays are just, look, we have to do our best to try to be joyful on Mondays. And I'm speaking to myself right here. Mondays are very, really tough days. For me at work, and I know for some of you, I see you guys, some of you guys are going like this, but Jesus wasn't grumpy because it was a Monday, okay? He wasn't grumpy. There was a reason why he did what he did. So let me tell you this, something about, because somebody will read this and say, "For it was not the season for figs." It wasn't the season for figs. Why did he curse it? There wasn't supposed to be figs on there. When I first read that, I thought the same thing. I'm thinking, that's interesting. It's not the season for figs. And then he curses it because it doesn't have figs. Doesn't sound very fair. But if you know something, you know, I happen to be an expert in fig. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not an expert. Just like I'm not an expert in donkeys that we talked about. Okay. But listen, when I looked into this, it's interesting. A fig tree around March, okay, the figs will start coming out. And the tree looks barren. It's just like, it looks like a tree that we would see in wintertime here, to where you think it's dead, but it's just dormant. But the figs will slowly come out, and then shortly after, the leaves will start coming out. So when Jesus saw this tree and there was a bunch of leaves on it, surely there must be some fruit on it. Now, we have to remember Jesus knew that there was no figs on it as he was going there, right? He's making a point here. Because the picture here is the picture of Israel, the picture, and we can use this as a picture of ourselves. Sometimes we have this nice leafy exterior. You ever talk to people and it's like, hey, how's it going? Matt did great every time. We're great, man. It's amazing how just this, everything is just always like, and I've talked to people like that, and I'm just like, you know, you kind of pull them aside and say, really, like, there's got to be something. I mean, your life isn't perfect. And if it is, then you need to kind of take an inventory of your life. Because it can't be all holy. Now, are we supposed to, I'm not saying that we're not supposed to be joyful people and all that. What I am saying is sometimes we put this greeny, you know, leafy exterior, and on the inside, we're barren. On the inside, there's no fruit. I asked a question about, and of course I didn't want to show of hands. I don't want to show of hands here, but think about your 2016. Think about it. Think about all the fruit that was there in 2016. Think about all the things that happened. Think about all the ways you served. Think about all these things. And if you take an inventory of that and you sit here and you go, it's kind of, I don't want to think about 2016 anymore. Listen, we are to look back at 2016 and listen, just like in the corporate world, just like in the retail world, they say that you can have 12 great comments, right? You're great, you're great, you're great, you're great, you're great, 12 times. And then all of a sudden you get the one, you had a customer that wasn't happy. All of a sudden those 12 just go bye-bye. It's like, wait, what about, you know? That's the way it is. And I know you guys that work in retail, in any form of retail, that's the case. But we're to look at the things that happened that were not so great that affected us, right? And there needs to be wisdom that needs to be gained in those things. We aren't to dwell on it. We are to gain, okay, Lord, what are you saying? What are you teaching? Because we're going to talk about that. Even when he was overturning the tables, and then he taught. I love that. In the midst of all that chaos, he taught. We say, what lesson do we have here, Lord? What lesson do we have? And then how can we use that for your glory in 2017? What can we do? I think it's so true. So again, the fig comes out in March, the leaves come out later, and then about in August is when very leafy fig tree, very leafy with a bunch of fruit. Now, another thing about the fig tree, it's about 20 feet tall and about 20 to 25 feet wide. And it is a very good shade tree. If you ever see one, I mean, that's why I believe it was Nathaniel that Jesus said, oh, yeah, I saw you. I saw you under the fig tree. And he was like, you must be the Christ. He must have been sitting there. He was probably reading or something, and he was under the shade of this tree. Now, if just providing shade, think about it. If you're made to do something and you only are able to achieve just one portion of what God has made you to be, that you can do so many things. Think about it. You have talents and gifts that you can utilize for the body of Christ, that you can utilize for the Lord. But if you just use just one, what a waste. What a waste, you know? I think what we need to do is we need to take an inventory of our lives and say, and then have a plan of action and say, Lord, I want to go into two. I don't want to do, because you know what I did last year? Just to be honest with you. I didn't really have a plan. Like, I'm talking about, you know, I may have had a plan on the youth ministry on month to month. You know, I may have had a plan at work for this, but I really didn't have a plan for discipleship. I really didn't have a plan of how I'm going to be a better husband. I really didn't have a plan on how I'm going to be a better friend, a better father. You know, I didn't have a plan for that. It's almost like we take that for granted and just say, we're just going to see what happens. I think we need to be deliberate in our actions and in our walks, and as much as everything that we're involved in. I think that's key. And I think what's interesting is it says here that even though we put this greeny leaf around, you may be able to fool some people, but you won't fool the Lord. You won't fool the Lord. And if you have this leafy green thing and there is not only just barrenness inside, but there is sin, well then, sooner or later, either the Lord's going to be like, peel through the layers and expose it, or somebody else will come along and peel the layers and expose. But I love it here in verse 12 where it says, he, speaking of Jesus, was hungry. The Lord is hungry for fruit in our lives. That is encouraging. Because everything you do in the Lord is not in vain. Everything that you do. Now, if you do something and the Lord's not in it, it's worthless. But if you have the Lord in it, it's not in vain. And he's hungry for that. I love that. He said that, and he was hungry for the fruit. So listen, there is no coincidences with the Lord. In yesterday's men's breakfast, Pastor Sean was teaching in John 15. It talks about abiding in the true vine. How fitting. Because as he started teaching, I just kind of chuckled and I told the group, interesting how tomorrow we're going to be talking about fruit. And you're talking about abiding in the vine. And to abide is to stay in, to stand firm. Do not waver. When the pipe broke at our house, I could have started throwing things at the spout of water that's coming out. I could have been kicking the water up and just start breaking the water. We've got to replace them anyways and start busting the walls up. And what good would that have done? There would have been no fruit in that. We need to abide in him. And in John 15:2, Jesus said this, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. That word away is aero, which means to lift up, lifts up. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. So listen, you should plan for this. You want to bear fruit in 2017? Yeah, okay, let's do it. Right? You want to bear fruit? Well, then get ready to get pruned.
You squash that.
Get ready to be thrown into the fire, to be refined, to have all the impurities come up. Be ready to, like, nobody likes that. I'm sure if a tree had feelings and was able to speak, and you're like, wow, you know, I remember last year you had a lot of fruit and this and that. And then you start walking up with shears. Bet you the tree would be like, whoa, okay, wait a minute. With us, sometimes that pruning hurts. Actually, 99.99% of the pruning hurts. But there is a process that's happening. And if we want to bear more fruit, it needs to happen. And then, man, there's so much of this where it says takes away that aero, the Greek word aero, it means to lift up. It's what it means is it doesn't mean that it's totally just ripped out. What it means is, oh, if it's not bearing fruit, the vine dresser would lift up and make sure that there was light shining on it. Very, very important. We have to make sure that our thoughts, our minds, and our actions are of the Lord. John 15:4, Jesus said this also, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. How many times, man, I tell you, how many times I try to bear my own fruit? It's worthless. Unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me, Jesus says. Yeah, I love this. Psalm 92:13-14. It says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. So listen, guys, till our very last breath, to our very last breath, we are to do just that. We are to be planted in the house of the Lord. I know in Ephesians, It says, be rooted and grounded in love. And true love is Jesus Christ. Luke, if you're, again, if you're taking notes, Luke 8:15, Jesus speaking about the parable of the sower. But the ones that fell on good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. So it all breaks down to foundational. If you're having issues here, 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 and if you dissect it, if you really analyze something that's going on wrong in your life, it all comes back to, is the Lord in it? Are you allowing the Lord to fully be in it? Because I gave an analogy at the men's breakfast is, what I did was I grabbed my backpack and I said, Lord, I want to just give you my backpack. And I had my hand inside and I had a folder. And I said, Lord, I want to give it to you. And I threw the backpack, but I kept the folder. And I think that's what I do sometimes with the Lord. I say, Lord, I just want to give it all to you. And then I kind of take a little bit and I put it in my back pocket, you know. The Lord goes, yeah, I'm not dumb, you know. Give it all to me. Give it all to me and you'll see what will happen. Very, very important. We need to give everything. And then it says, if you are planted in the house of the Lord, that's where I want to be. I want to be planted right next to the Lord in the midst of what he is doing. And then if he comes by with his shears to come prune me, so be it. We need to be glad for that. Sometimes we have things that happen in our lives, and then we sit there and we just are like, and we're going to talk about at the end of, oh, how do we bear fruit? You know, the Lord lays it out pretty simple. Faith, prayer, and forgiveness. Faith, prayer, and forgiveness. But kind of get a little ahead of my notes here. Verses 15 through 18 here. So they came to Jerusalem. Then Jesus went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he would not allow anyone to carry wares through the temple. Then he taught, saying to them, I love that. Then he taught, saying to them, is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations? But you have made it a den of thieves. Verse 18. And the scribes and chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him because, and I have this underlined, it says, all the people were astonished at his teaching. Here we see the true heart of what's going on there in Jerusalem. They turned the Lord's house into a marketplace. But I want to focus right now. I love the beginning of verse 17 where it says, then he taught. Jesus always wants to teach us even when we do things that are wrong. He could have turned over the tables and just left in anger. Now, the Lord didn't sin in his anger. Listen, guys, this is very important to understand. The feeling that we have of anger, there's nothing wrong with being angry. It's we're not to sin in our anger. That is key. And sometimes there's just that fine line, you know. But it's very, very important to understand that. Jesus did not sin here, okay? Jesus refers to Isaiah 56:7, which says this, even them I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. And he also referred to Jeremiah 7:11 that says, has this house which is called by my name become a den of thieves in your eyes? Behold, I have seen it, says the Lord. So know this. This is very important. Obviously, we know that what was happening there. Jesus was upset because that was a house. That's the Lord's house, and they were turning it into a marketplace. They were turning it a place. They made it like, you know, the Mall of America kind of thing. You know, it's like this is where I came from afar and I want to have this, you know, because they were there for the Passover and this is the sacrifice that I want to give. And they would look at it and go, oh wait, no, there's a little spot right here, but we have these pre-approved lambs. We have these pre-approved doves, you know?
Well, okay, how much are they?
Like a 400% markup. Like, it was insane. And what do they have to do? You know, it's not like us that we go somewhere and it's like, oh, what's the price? Okay, you get back in your car and you just go drive. It wasn't like that for them. They didn't have that luxury. This is what they wanted to do, so they would have to pay it. And then it became so common knowledge that people would end up bringing a bunch of money, and they were taking advantage of them. I think there are many churches, especially in the United States, that are doing just that. And we need to be praying for those churches. We need to be praying that the Lord will reveal himself and they wouldn't use the house of the Lord as a marketplace. But here, we need to understand this. I love this. Know this. Truth-telling is more important than peacekeeping. This is where, like, this is hard for me to receive, you know? Because it's more important. Jesus was always telling the truth about a situation. He was always, because ultimately that's how you make peace, is by truth. Now, there have been times where the youth have come up and they would ask, you know, hey, this is where, or they like something on Instagram or something, and I had to confront them and say, why are you even looking at that? Why are you even a part of that? Why, you know? And I don't care if everybody else is doing it. What does the Lord have to say about this? And they will get mad and be mad at me for quite some time or whatever, but then they'll come back and they'll say, some of them right away, and some of them would come back and say, I just appreciate you being blunt and honest with me. Because that's how the Lord was. The Lord was just, boom, this is it. With the woman at the well, man, he was just boom, right? He was just straightforward. We need to be telling the truth before, because this is what happened. When Jesus puts truth before peace, this is why. Because sometimes if we try to do peace before the truth, we end up compromising. And then we may even give the impression that we're okay with that thing. Like the hot topic right now is homosexuality. It's like hot topic. And it's been talked about so much that people, especially youth, are just more lenient towards that. Well, you know, let people live. I'm not saying we're not supposed to let people live. Like, what do you know? It is wrong. We are to hate sin. Hate it. We're not to hate the people that are sinning. We are to hate sin. And I think that if we start to hate sin more, realize that that is just wrong in God's eyes, we're able to be more bold. And we're able to say it. And then if we have knowledge and have a plan, if that's such a hot topic right now and the topic is coming up, it would make sense for me to have scriptures, right, to back it up. And if I talk to somebody, to back it up. I love the whole debate of creation and evolution. So if I love that, then I need to, the smart thing to do is I need to be able to come up with some good arguments, right? Good things that in scripture that will support these things, right? To be ready to give a defense. I need to be ready in season and out of season. We all need to. Because it's funny, because when people start saying, you just say, especially at work, they'll say, well, why do you hate homosexuals so much? Well, that's where you're wrong. And then I'll say, do you think Jesus hates them? Oh, that's pretty much, that's what it says in your book, right? No. It says he hates the sin, and he loves them, and he's interceding, he's praying for them, and we need to do the same. And then all of a sudden, you just educated the ignorant, and then now they're like, oh, I didn't know that. Abortion, another hot topic. Where does life start? When does life begin? And if you educate people on those kind of things, then they realize where you're coming from. See, we need to get away from the us against them. And it's like, okay, if you think it's us against them, we need to be on the same page. And we need to do what we can for conversion. We share and let the Lord do the work. We need to be bold in that. So again, truth before peace. That's how Jesus always did it. So verses 19 to 21. When evening had come, he went out of the city. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter remembered and said to him, Rabbi, look! There's an exclamation mark there, by the way. The fig tree which you cursed has withered away. Okay, so the same word is used, dried up and withered. The same word is used there. Okay? And the same word is used also in John 15, verse 6. So here, we're back at the fig tree again. So the same word is used. John 15, 5, and the first portion of 6 says this. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. Listen, this doesn't mean that our salvation will be taken from us. What this means is that if we are withered or dried up in any place, in any situation, we need to look why it's happening. We need to notice that in Mark 20, that it states that the dryness came from the roots. What is the root cause? If we are rooted and grounded in Christ, we won't get dried up. There is an overflow that's happening when you're rooted in Christ. And if you start to dry up a little bit, that's only from our own doing. It's not the Lord's. It's our own doing. Because he wants us to have an abundance. So listen. If we are not willing to be used by the Lord will continue with or without us. He will find somebody else to do it. But what a shame. What a shame that the Lord has created us in such a way to partake in this wonderful, beautiful thing. And because you get offended, or because you are hurt, or because you it's not happening your way, or this or that, this is all happening. Don't let that hinder you. The Lord has, he says he's going to finish a work. He's going to finish the work that he started. And he is faithful to do that. He is faithful even when we're not faithful. We need to write that on the wall somewhere in your house, you know. Put it in your, you know. And I don't know, the first place I go, maybe this is TMI here, but I wake up first, bathroom. So I should put something in the bathroom. Write it on a dry erase board or something, or on the mirror with a dry erase marker. Write some things. Remind myself. Make it deliberate in my life. Because we are such a forgetful people. And we forget. Oh, Lord, you know, I love you. Just like, Hosanna, right? And then shortly after, what? We get so upset and we get derailed. And that's why I tell my kids, you know, because if, you know, if they're saying, well, am I saved? Am I not? The very fact that you're so concerned about it, you know what I mean? If you're saved or not saved is pretty much an indication that you are. But I tell my kids, I said, if there's a train on the track and the train gets derailed, do you go, well, it's not a train anymore? It was a train when it was on the track. It's not a train anymore. You'd go, that's a ridiculous statement. It's a train. It just got off track. No, it's not a train. Nope. I'm not going to look. It's not a train. No, that's ridiculous. It's still a train. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ and you get off track, you're still a believer in Jesus Christ. You just need to get on track. And maybe the Lord is kind of doing this to you.
And you're like, oh, that's kind of uncomfortable. It hurts.
But it's the truth. Verses 22 through 26 and 1 here. These are some keys to fruitfulness. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you had asked, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. Verse 26, dun, dun, dun. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. All right, so let's start with the first one real quick. Faith, verse 22, faith. We need to have faith. Faith in what? Not faith in faith, okay? Because a lot of times we do that. We're like, oh, just you talk about faith. It's like, well, no, it's the faith in the Lord. It's the faith in God. Listen, I love my favorite verse is Hebrews 11:6. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. It doesn't say, but without faith, it is very difficult to please God. No, it doesn't say that. It says, it is impossible. And if you look up that word, you know what it means? Impossible. It's impossible. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Beautiful. Beautiful. We have to have faith in God to know that he will sustain us. How many times in 2016, maybe this happened to you, maybe it's not, but there's times where I'm like that person that's like barely, like the water's right here, and I'm just like, you know, and then I'm sucking a little bit of water, you know. Have you ever been to the beach and just like you got slammed by a wave? It used to happen. We used to go to Huntington Beach, and we used to go, and what's funny is you would have these like short breaks. So it would be nice and calm, and all of a sudden it was like, you know, you're there, and it's boom! I mean, it's just right there on the shore. You guys have experienced that? It knocks the wind out of you. Totally knocks the wind out of you, and you're just like, and then you're trying to get up, and here comes another one. Boom! Then you're like this, and then you just, it's salt water, so like, now all of your nasal cavities are just flushing out, and you're just like... Sometimes I felt like that in 2016. I felt like I just got slammed, and when I try to get my head above water, bam. And here's 2017. Big old pipe bursting in the house. Listen, this is totally of the Lord. If this would have happened last year, I probably would have been flipping out. There's just a piece about it, you know? And I'm thinking, you know, I'm preparing myself and planning for if the insurance company says something like, well, you know, so I'm just like, Lord, it's in your hands. I'm going to give it to you. It's totally an inconvenience. But compared to hell, that's nothing. Absolutely nothing. Verses 23 and 24 talk about prayer. If we start with faith, then we will have confidence in our prayers to know he will work it out. So listen, what mountains need to be moved in our lives? Do we have faith to know that he will move them? That's tough. You know, it's just funny because, like, we did all this stuff to try to get rid of some of our debt. And then now comes a deductible that we're going to have to face, you know? And the Lord's faithful. He's going to provide. I'm not fishing for anything here, okay? What I'm saying is I'm cool with that. I'm cool with that. Because I'm sure when Sarah saw it, when Sarah saw or heard, like, oh, somebody washing towels? It's like, you know, somebody, oh, Alex is in the shower. Okay. And this and that. And then all of a sudden, the water's shooting out, you know?
Oh, gosh.
That surprised her. Was the Lord surprised? The Lord was not surprised. He knew it was going to happen. He allowed it to happen. The Lord could have brought his finger down and just, for the rest of our time, just left his finger on that hole. And just, no, you're not going to, butter's not going to come out. No, he allowed it to happen. So we have to be okay to say, what's going to happen in the near future? Are we prepared? Are we prayed up? Verses 25 and 26, when here it talks about forgiveness. Forgiveness is the key not only to fruitfulness, but also for liberation. Are we holding on to any bitterness? Are we, because be careful, because that bitterness, then it starts to turn into resentment. I mean, those are sin. That you're sinning. If you are in a marriage relationship, very wise. We were talking about this at the men's breakfast. We need to be, as far as I speak for the husbands, we need to, and it goes both ways, but guys, we need to be open with our wives. We need to be able to share these things. We need to be able to, and sometimes we feel like, no, I'm not going to say that because you're going to get her this and that. But the main thing about it is if you open up yourself, because sometimes we feel like, well, I don't want to get her mad. Oh, if she knew this. Oh, there's something going on. You guys are laughing. Anyways, okay. So we'll have counseling after. No, I'm just kidding. So if there, but well, what happens is if you just open yourself up, and there's just, you know, maybe there's other benefits, in other words, and I think Pastor will be talking about that soon in the coming Song of Solomon, going through that. But if you get my point, you want a healthy, loving relationship? You have faith that the Lord is going to see you through it. Because you know what the world teaches? I was just telling the guys, there's this show that's called like 7-Year Marriage or something. And these people are married for 7 years. And then what they do is they pair themselves up. So if you have a guy over here that's just kind of like financial guy, you know, there's this guy who's like the financial guy. And he's not very fun, according to his wife. And the wife is like, she just wants a party or whatever. And then you have this other couple over here where it's the reverse. Okay? Where the guy is the partier and the girl is just like, you need to, like, we have responsibilities and da 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 da. So there's a balance. So what they do is they say, well, we're going to swap your husbands and your wives. And if you look at the previews on it, you know, we saw the pilot, and I'm not going to watch this thing because the pilot was just like, the professionals were saying, well, we're here to go because we just want to determine whether you guys want to move forward in your marriage. That's your professional advice rather than how we're going to make this work. So what we're going to do is basically we're going to make you guys so jealous. And if you guys decide to, and you can tell that something happens because there's a couple laying in bed saying, do you think our spouses will forgive us? No, obvious, right? So that's the world's point of view. Of, hey, 7 years, doesn't matter. You want to bail out? Bail out. You guys, do you want to bail out or do you not want to bail out? Kind of thing. It's like, what? That's what? No. The Bible says, you're married, you stay. And you work it out. And you do whatever. You fight and you fight and you fight. Sarah decided. Sarah's like, don't bring me up. Sarah decided, no, you know what? I'm done with you or whatever. Man, I'd be like crazy stalker. Because I'd be like, uh-uh. You're going to need an army. Because you're my wife. And that's it. I'm going to fight as much as I can. We need to fight, guys. So listen, forgiveness is a God thing. Listen, an unforgiving spirit in a believer hinders our walk with God, and it hinders the flow of blessings. Forgiveness is a God thing that takes this route. It starts with faith in God. It ends up with fervent prayer. And if there's any forgiveness that needs to happen, there needs to be forgiveness to move forward. If there's not, it's not going to be fruitful. There's going to be no fruit. And that's not my opinion. That's just exactly what the word says. You have faith in God to do it. You be fervent in prayer. You just go in there and you pray hard. And then you go in and you clean it out. You look, where do I have bitterness? Where do I go? And then you go and you make peace. But you tell the truth first. So let's make 2017 a year of fruitful harvest. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for who you are. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you gave us this example here. Lord, we don't want to be those that have this greeny exterior, that everything is all fine and be barren inside. We want to produce fruit. And Lord, if there's anybody here who feels that 2016 was just not a year of fruit, Lord, I pray and thank you that they're here, they're alive, they're breathing, and you've given them another day, today. Tomorrow's not promised, but today can be a day for fruit. Today can be a day for reconciliation, forgiveness, to get rid of any bitterness, to get rid of any strife. Lord, you've called us to be in unity. So important. Everybody here has something that they can offer to you, Lord. And you're willing to receive it. You're hungry for that fruit from us. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm talking to you guys now, every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here and you're thinking to yourself, I don't know if I've ever truly received Jesus Christ into my heart, into my life. Maybe you're sitting here going, man, these things, okay, I don't know, 2016, you know, maybe you feel like it was kind of a waste, or maybe you don't feel it's a waste, but you realize there's so many distractions that happened that hindered you. And maybe you're thinking, you're evaluating now, you're thinking, well, I want to know for sure that the Lord's in your heart, not just three chambers, but all four chambers of your heart. Fully, you've surrendered your heart to him. So if you're here and you want to accept Jesus Christ into your life, I would love to pray for you. Is there anybody here who wants to do that this morning? Anybody here? Don't let the enemy hold your hand down like there's this big weight on there. We're among family and friends here. Anybody here who wants to accept Jesus Christ for the first time into their life? Anybody here? If you're here and you do love the Lord, you know the Lord, and you're thinking, my goodness, I've kind of been like that train that's been derailed a little bit. I haven't been in prayer like I should. I haven't been reading the Word. I haven't been discipling, or I haven't been sharing my faith. And you just kind of, maybe just life just got you caught up. It happens. It happens to all of us. But you're here this morning, you want to say, I want to rededicate my life to you, Lord. I want to be in your Word more. I want to pray more. I want to live for you fully. So if that's you and you want to rededicate your life to the Lord this morning, raise your hand. I'd love to pray for you. Anybody here who wants to do that this morning? Anybody here? God bless you. Anybody else? Again, don't let the enemy hold your hand down. I'd love to pray for you. Anybody else? Father, we thank you so much for this one that raised their hand to rededicate their lives to you, Lord. I pray if there's anybody else in here that maybe rededicated their life but didn't put their hands up, that's okay. Lord, I pray that you would bless them, Lord. I pray that you would send a host of angels to remind them, Lord. I pray that you would remind them, meet them in their dreams, Lord. Remind them to be in your word, to be in prayer. Lord, if there's areas of forgiveness that needs to happen, I pray that that would be the case also. Lord, I pray for an awesome 2017, rather, for all of us, Lord. I pray that there would be much fruit and that it would be obvious, Lord. Lord, I pray that there would be praise reports coming in. Lord, that we would, in the prayer chain, that we would send out these praise reports of about the things that the Lord is doing and working in our lives. And Lord, that we would be able to encourage the body of Christ. Lord, there's nobody in here that can say that they pray enough, or they're in the word enough, or they do enough. But Lord, as a response, we know that works aren't for salvation, but as a response, Lord, for what you've done for us, help us to do that, Lord. To have that joy, like we spoke about at the men's break, to have that joy. Jesus, others, then yourself. So true, Lord. So, Lord, I pray for everyone that's in here, Lord. I pray for whatever situations that are happening in people's lives. I pray, Lord, that you would be in the midst of that. They would allow, like we would allow you to be a part of it fully. So, Lord, we thank you. We love you. We give you all the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said, amen.